could immediately fell in love with that soundtrack.
Dulcinea.
I have it on vinyl.
I see heaven when I see you, Dulcinea.
And your name.
I'm so glad you're classing the place up, Jenna.
Oh, hell fucking yeah, I am.
All right, let's get this thing going. Greetings, Apropos, and welcome up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we're all here.
Yeah. Yay! We're not all there, but we are all here.
Yeah, indeed. Well, James might not
we're
all be there.
We're mostly here.
James brought extra.
I'm about 85% here.
He brought some friends. Jenna, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking a Crown Royal Washington Apple. I desperately wanted a cider, and the booze store had nothing I wanted. So I got the Washington Apple Crown Royal cocktail thingy instead.
I can smell it from here.
Good?
Oh, yeah. That tastes like a Washington apple and caramel.
That's pretty fucking great.
The caramel's not too sweet.
No, it really isn't, actually.
It smells gently tart.
It's not super sweet. It is a bit on the tartar side.
Yeah.
Which
is the crown coming out at all?
Let me just tuck that back in. yeah, a little bit.
All right. It's a little there. I'm not terribly fond of Crown Royal, so I'm wondering how much of that flavor is in there.
My first experience with Crown was
Grab a shot glass. I'll pour you a little something.
Oh, yeah, that would be lovely.
Yeah, I'll give you a sip.
What were you saying?
I'm not sipping yours,
No. My first experience with Crown was that we had bought a backpack for one of our convention guests who was going to be DJing, and we thought he would want to stay hydrated, and he did. He mixed two bottles of Crown with 2 liters of Coke.
Oh.
And that was like high school for me.
That's what he had like in his Camelback
backpack. No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's actually, like, I personally want it a little bit sweeter, but we all know I like sweet things.
Yeah, no, but that one's a solid one. Recommended here, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are you two drinking?
What I am drinking will also...
Here's a guess, listeners. It's something I don't want to drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a pineapple gin fizz
with gluten and coconut.
A bit of cheese on a cocktail sword.
What we are drinking, it leads directly into where I've been. We are drinking a from the Al Ringling Brewery in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We are drinking the Bull Chip Stout.
Which just reminds me of every TV edit of a, 1970s, 1980s...
That's Bull Chip.
Oh, our teacher lets us say Bull Chips. Of course he does. It's not swearing.
Oh, that's creamy and milky and good.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
the smell is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Have you sipped any of it, James, or are you just huffing it?
Started by huffing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's very smooth.
It's real creamy.
Could I have a couple of those without looking up to say hi?
Is that a phrase?
It is in his mind.
All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So where were you?
I was in Baraboo, Wisconsin, oddly enough.
I've heard they have a brewery there.
Yes, the Al Ringling Brewery, as a matter of fact.
Salsa doesn't go anywhere where there isn't a brewery.
Also that. Which, by the way, this brewery was amazing. As one can probably imagine, any building in a circus town would be.
It was a three-ring brewery.
Like, Cristo of the Fondazzi was like, I wanted to stop there and get some stuff, and I've heard you have to go inside. And I was like, okay, I will do that. So we stopped to get some crowlers, and I went inside, and thank fucking God I did. I was just going to go in and get the crowlers, and then I got inside, and I texted my wife, come in here, because she was going to wait in the car. It's like, get in here.
Get in here now.
Because it was a fairly good-sized hall, and on one end was a proscenium.
Oh.
And there, at the proscenium, was the brewing stuff. You know, like the kegs, or not the kegs, the fermenters.
Yeah.
And so it was like this, you know, beautiful hall with a stage area and stuff like that. And then on the other end of the hall, on a raised platform, was a big fucking calliope.
Oh.
Big fucking calliope. Okay. And then, like, along one wall, like, they had a raised area on one side, like a little balcony, you know, area. Okay. And, like, along the edge of that was, like, a model train with, like, the Ringling Brothers train cars all modeled out there. And there's just circus posters all over the walls and everything like that.
Sounds adorable.
And, it was absolutely gorgeous. And the like, chandeliers had these, like, porcelain cherubs on them. And there was, like, all this, everything, like, had gold leaf on it and stuff like that. It was very just that white and gold and bright color circusy thing.
Also, I'm so excited to see the House on the Rock.
Amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And then, while I'm waiting for my crawlers to get filled, somebody who worked there walked up onto the stage, went behind the calliope, and flicked something, and it started to play.
Oh, shit.
What?
So this hall is filled with this calliope waltz.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Radley, get in here now.
Now.
And so she came in and was just like, holy shit, you know. And so while we're waiting for my beer to get, you know, filled, we danced together a waltz in the middle of the brewery, in the brew pub there.
And, that's wonderful.
It was wonderful. It was absolutely amazing. But wow. Like, but all the detail in this, like, even the foot rail along the bar, the brass foot rail, like the brackets that mounted it to the bar were elephant heads.
Aww.
And they were holding the like,
oh, that's
the
so foot rail in their cool. trunk.
Like, all the details. Like, this, it was so cool. But anyway, that was the brewery. I haven't even gotten to where we were at. I was at, as listeners have probably know, because I've been talking about it for the past few weeks, we were in Baraboo for a gathering of rogues and ruffians.
Oh, was that the Renaissance last
Festival? Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. On the grounds of Circus
Why
World
didn't you say
in
something?
Baraboo, Wisconsin. And it's... usually how I end my season. This year I have one more show, but that's beside the point. We'll talk about that later.
Oh.
Yeah. But all usually this is where I end my season, and performing at the Hippodrome at Circus World, and it is the best. It is absolutely amazing.
You will believe a hippo can fly.
It's true. But yeah, no, got to see all of the people and do all of the shows and have a grand old time. The weather was pretty good for most of it.
Yeah.
It got really windy like the last hour or two of the day on Sunday, but otherwise the weather was pretty good, except for like the half hour thunderstorm that happened on Saturday.
What?
And by thunderstorm, I mean it didn't really rain, it just thundered. And this thunder was the most amazing thunder I've ever heard. It didn't sound like that sharp crack of a thunder. It sounded like the thunder of a dozen 18th century warships all firing a broadside of, you know, cannon.
Off in the distance.
Off into the distance. That deep, like, you feel it in your chest, booms happening. And, oh, it it sounded so cool. And we were looking up, and we could see where one front was rubbing against the other. Because, like, right above us, there was a line of clouds that weren't moving. Mm. And then right next to it were clouds that were just screaming by.
Hmm.
And you could see the line where those two met. And it was insane watching that happen right above us. So
some angels park in the clouds and it's like, oh, God, my dad's going to be so mad.
Yes.
It was super cool. But we went out there on Friday and we came back today. Did all the shows and just had a fucking fantastic time out there. That's
sounds amazing.
A show I deeply enjoy doing.
Do you?
Yes, I just said.
Oh, okay.
That. Anyway, aside from that, had a pretty interesting week leading up to it. The lights in our laundry room burnt out.
Oh.
Which is not something you really think about until they burn out.
Sure.
And they've been...
Especially now. Like, in the last decade, light bulbs just go.
Exactly. And since we moved in, they've worked.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I've ever had to...
Are these, flat LED?
No, these are 8-foot-long tubes.
Oh, fuck.
That I had to go through the false ceiling to get to.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Because I've got the drop ceiling up in the basement here, and in the laundry room, it's the drop ceiling with the plastic squares.
To three plastic squares per fixture, yeah.
So it's that, and usually we just, the lights are on and we ignore it, and then the lights go off, and now I need to pay attention to it. And it's these 8-foot-long fucking tubes, and I was like, oh, fuck. So I get up there, and I pull them down and, measure them and try to find numbers on them and Google, what it is I'm looking for and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, where can I find these? And it looks like Home Depot has some, so I go to Home Depot.
Sure.
And I'm like, cool, I need this number and this number. And they have, I didn't know this, but they have LED tube lighting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I was like, awesome, I'm going to get some LED tube lighting.
Sure.
And I looked, everything looked fine. It looked good. So I got it home and I put the lights up in the thing and I turned the light switch on. And one of the lights came on and turned off immediately.
Oh.
And the other one mostly came on, but like a foot on one end didn't come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was like, that's a little, maybe I've got a bad connection or something strange going on. Huh. So I'm like up there like tapping it, turning it, seeing if it... And then I noticed the smoke.
Oh, Jesus.
Coming out from one end of this tube. And I go, that's not supposed to happen. And
I was about to say, did you get the smoking lights?
Yeah, and then I rotate the tube a little bit, and there's a spot on the side of the tube that is melting.
Yeah, that's bad.
So I'm going to turn off those lights, and I took the lights completely out, because this is Friday.
Yeah.
When we are, as soon as my wife gets home, we are getting in the car and going to Baraboo. So it's just like, well, this is Monday Salsa's problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to unplug these and take these out so that nothing happens over the weekend and sets the house on fire. But until then, this is just not... my problem.
This is just not happening. Yeah.
And then I mentioned this to Christo.
Sure.
Of the Fondazi.
Sure.
He knows a thing or two about a thing.
He's a man that knows.
He's been a handyman. He's been a home inspector. He knows
these. He inspected my home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He would be somebody who might know something about this.
Hmm.
And I found out from him that apparently some of those old tubes lights are not 120.
Yeah. That would.
They're 240.
Ah.
Shit.
Which I didn't know. I was just like, light fixture. It's, No, apparently some of them are doubled up.
Especially in a laundry room where you're already running 240. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I probably put in lighting that was not ready for that and just blew them out.
Yep.
So that's, yeah, we're just like, I think, I might want to just get an electrician here and have him go, what exactly do I need to do
here? What are your goals here?
Would you recommend me just getting more bigger, beefier light bulbs, or should I replace this completely? Like, what is the best course of action here?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a very exciting moment on Friday.
Weirdly, I had a similar thing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Yeah, I believe I
performed at Baraboo.
That would be amazing.
I just need to apply.
I was about to say, like, I'm pretty sure any asshole can do it if salsa can do it.
Certainly, some have.
Right?
But
hint.
I think I talked on the podcast about replacing a light fixture in the basement at one point, and it was because this long tube fixture, again, one of these like 8-foot tubes. Vincent had noticed that the bulbs were loose because one of them fell on him.
Even the most unobservant might notice that.
Well, fucking call me Newton.
And I was like, oh, well, you know, it's probably just loose. And I like popped it back up there. Everything's working, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, like 2-3 weeks later, it just drops out again. The light fixture, something with the little retaining springs is bad.
I see.
And so the bulbs would just roll and drop. Mm. That time it fell onto the concrete and
shattered.
Fucking shattered everywhere. Yeah. So I replaced it with 3 small light fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, looking at the cost of bulbs and all of the everything else, but, I had an exciting moment this weekend when I was putting up a monitor. And so I was attaching the monitor arm to the wall, which was a fucking catastrophe. I have never in my life struggled that much to install anchors or to find like a mounting point for the
stud of some sort.
I used an electronic stud finder, and not only did it tell me that there was a stud every 3 inches of wall.
What was the wall? Was it?
It's plaster and lath. Yep. But it also told me that there were wires everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's because in an old house, they will sometimes ground outlets that are the metal boxes through the house.
Yeah. Stud finders are completely useless in the plaster.
There are apparently magnetic stud finders that will help.
Hmm.
And so after drilling several test holes, I went and bought one of the little magnetic ones, and sure enough, it found a screw in there, and I measured 16 off of that center, and just found another fucking empty spot. I was losing a game of Battleship against my house.
Wow.
And
they weren't even going standard distance apart, because it was, I suppose, how old is that
1950s.
House? They were that was before that standardized.
Standards?
Yeah. They did not.
Fuck your standards.
Care.
There are no standards here.
I had already been out to the hardware store twice by then, and I was like, you know what, they know me, it's a third trip.
It's so wonderful. I'm sure hardware store employees, if you've ever been a hardware store employee, please write in and tell us, because I'm sure they're just like, yep, this guy again, he's definitely working on something.
Went in and bought toggle bolts because they would have the weight requirement.
Mm.
But I bought the kind that you put into the wall on the end of the screw.
Yep, and then they butterfly open.
And so I had to put the screw through the arm, put both screws through the arm first, attach the butterfly toggles, knock them through the wall, because even if you drill the correct size hole, they're square.
Yeah.
It takes a little doing. Got them in there, started tightening them down, and then realized that I had not put the washers on the arm side. And I went, it just isn't, we're not doing it.
Okay.
These are in. Because in order to retrieve the bolts out of there, I would have to
drop
the anchors into the wall.
Yep.
God knows what's going on inside there.
And, sure.
Yeah. So I just...
you just didn't.
It was one of those like five-handed work things, projects.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I had to...
Pull out your other three hands?
Hold the arm against the wall and pull the bolts tight against the inside of the wall.
To give friction to the butterfly.
To give friction to the, yeah, to the butterfly toggles. And then also operate the electric screw gun to tighten them down most of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And holding a monitor arm by the wall section is weirdly a shitload of leverage.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a lot. Managed it. It happened. That all went. And then didn't cinch them down. I cinched them down by hand because I learned important lessons from car repair.
Can I give you some advice that will reduce a couple hands?
Get the toggle bolts that have the little plastic arms?
No.
Because that's a way to do it.
Instead of holding the mount against the wall and trying to pull the bolt out, pull the mount up against the head back of the head of the bolt. Pull the mount away from the wall and put pressure on the back of the bolt head using that.
Sure. That was kind of where it started.
Oh, okay.
But... because I was cinching them down one at a time, I couldn't do both. It was
no, you rock it back and forth to put pressure on whichever one you're.
It was
screwing at that point. In time.
Shockingly, way more awkward than what I ended up doing.
No. I believe it. I was.
Yeah,
that
would, it's good
might
thinking.
Have helped instead of trying to pull it out with your hand.
The fact is, you can buy toggle bolts that have a plastic anchor that holds them.
Mm-hmm.
Then just keeps them there.
Yeah.
And doesn't leave a giant fucking hole open in
also
your wall.
That.
So, but ignoring all of that, got that fucking arm on there, and then cinched down the bolts by hand with a hand driver, and then realized, I thought about it, and I was like, most walls have 3 inches of clearance internally, 3 to 3.5 inches of clearance. How long are these?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
This is an outer wall. So if I went through it, I've broken the stucco on the outside of the house, and I've just got the ass end of two toggle bolts hanging off the side of my house in midair.
Slap some caulk on it. It'll be fine.
Thankfully.
I had a date like that once.
Nice. Thankfully, there is at least 4 inches of space between the inner and outer walls.
Oh, God.
Of... God fucking shit. Yeah. But I had that moment of... I had to go outside with a flashlight. It was dark by then.
Yeah.
And I went outside with a flashlight to look at the wall of my house to make sure that I had not broken the delicate eggshell of weatherproofing that would keep however many months of snow and rain from getting in. Fuck.
So, yeah, that sounds exciting.
But the arm is on the wall. The monitor is on the arm.
All right.
So far, it's holding.
So far. Today.
I realized after I put it up, too, I was like, this is kind of high up. It's not
That's
going.
Where it's going.
It's there now.
Yeah.
I'm buying a taller chair.
I have a...
it's fair.
I have a swing arm for my wife's TV for her office. That I have yet to install, and that's going to be a similar one. Whereas, just
if you want to borrow an electric stud finder,
I actually might. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Well, because I had watched a video, because I was like, I must be using this stud finder wrong. And they were like, hey, if you have a metal screen in your walls, if it's plaster and lath and it's got masonry fabric or whatever they call it,
you're fucked.
Then it might tell you that your grounded outlets are everywhere
in
the wall. So just lay a hand on the surface of the wall to ground out the mesh. It works.
Interesting.
Oh, well, that's good.
That
to
is
know.
Unsettling.
That is fantastic news.
But it works.
Yeah. Information, though.
Yeah. That was the same one that told me to use a magnetic stud finder.
Yeah.
They recommended a particular brand, which I gather is good. The one that I got is probably fine in some places. It was not good for this.
In this particular instance.
No, not at all. No. Mm-hmm. But that was my household adventure.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I've been 3D printing a bunch of shit, but that's what you will do.
I had no household adventure.
Oh.
Unless you consider my womb.
Okay.
And I don't.
It was the closest I could get. It was the closest I could get to a household adventure. No, I had my birthday. I'm 45 now.
Ah, 45.
See, every time. Yeah, I earned every single one of those levels. And I'm very happy and excited to have gotten a 45. But when you turn 45, apparently it's like when your car hits 150,000 miles and you have to get everything fucking checked.
Yeah.
Hmm. Like, and everything replaced.
Mm-hmm. So they've got Jenna up on the lift.
Actually.
They're replacing the filters.
They definitely ran a bunch of tests on my engine. And here's the thing. I'm going to say topic warning. I've talked about my perimenopause before. Get the fuck over it is kind of how I feel about it at this point. But I will be talking about my uterus and other things. So, and I know that there are some people that have dysphoria over certain things, and I could not tell you how long it's going to be into this that will stop. But
yeah,
it is quite a story. So buckle in or skip ahead. But I went to have all of my reproductive bits looked at, and I went in and said, hey, I have heavy bleeding.
Mm.
And I've said this to doctors before, and they're like, well, every woman thinks they have heavy bleeding is basically what it comes down to. So this was a new OBGYN, and she was like, okay, what does heavy bleeding mean to you?
Ah.
And this is the point at which I pulled out some metrics.
The spreadsheet.
I did.
You ever seen The Shining when the elevator opens up?
No, see, that's the thing. first of all, I have, and it is pretty much the same. But, no, like, I use a menstrual cup. It's better for the environment, sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's way better on my pocketbook.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. It holds more. Like, there's so many reasons.
Yeah. No, my wife also.
Yeah, they're great.
My spouse also.
And so I could measure exactly how much I was bleeding out every period.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that anything more than like 80 milliliters starts to get to like the maybe we should check kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
80 milliliters over a period.
Mm-hmm.
I was bleeding out at least 80 milliliters a day.
Seems excessive.
So heavy bleeding.
It's so heavy bleeding, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not fucking around here. So, like, I told that to the doctor. It was like, mine holds about 30 milliliters, and I can change that 2 to 3 times a day. And she went, oh, that's too much. And I went, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying.
I'm like, huh. So, got a bunch of tests done. They did tested me for like a bunch. I had to have blood work done, which meant needles, which I did not like. Although they were very good about it there. I also got to have an ultrasound done. I haven't done that for a while. I know, right? Ultrasound. which meant
super mega ultra
and
sound.
They're like, make sure to drink X amount of water before you get here, so that it'll expand everything, right? And I'm
an overachiever.
I'm about to cry urine by the time they get me in there. I am just, oh my god. The woman comes out to get me. She's like, how are you doing? I'm like, I have to pee so bad. She's like, all right, cool. Let's get you in there. We'll do the part that we need to get done first, and then you can go to the... Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
And this was not her first rodeo either. Oh, yeah. She was just like...
I love the nurses that are the grizzly, yeah. Like, been there, seen yeah. some shit. They're just like, all right, we're going to do the fucking
She's
thing.
Like,
let's
I've
do
got
it.
Everything prepped. Yep. You just get in there. You do that. Well, yep. Cool.
Throw the cowboy 8 seconds.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just fucking...
Follow the clown to the
bathroom. We're going
to
do this.
Yeah. So I get in there and we do the abdominal one, and then I get to pee, and everybody in the clinic heard me go, oh, like, I'm sure of it. I am sure of it. Oh, I had to pee so bad. And then we went to do the transvaginal one.
Mm-hmm.
So they shoved an ultrasound wand up my cooter and, looked like at everything that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, when I went in, they had a different OBGYN as the rotational consultant for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, okay, so heavy bleeding, things that it could be cysts on an ovary or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've had cysts on my right ovary for forever, so mm-hmm. I would be surprised if we didn't find any there, frankly.
Oh.
Or could be fibroids. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. sure. And they're like, or it could be endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sure. And then they did all of the looking around. And they went, oh, did we say or?
I was about to say, is this an and all three?
All of the above.
Boom.
Bing. So I do have righty. Has always been a bitch. She has always been cystic.
Hmm.
They double checked everything very carefully there, and they're like, there is less than 1% chance that there could be anything cancerous about this. We're not worried about this.
Sure.
I'm like, really? Because I've been smoking for over 25 years. So. Whew, impressive. All right.
That would be a different cancer, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it all affects the body.
Sure.
But,
I know. Trying to keep it light.
Pictures of smoker's uterus that they use to
not
yes.
a, not
dissuade
a normal
you.
Thing that shows up on the side of a,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
of a pack
yeah.
of cigarettes.
Right.
Although that might stop a few guys from smoking.
Jesus. There you go. So Righty's just being her normal bitchy self is really what it is. That was the other thing. Lefty is perfect. There was nothing wrong with Lefty.
He's always a good twin.
Lefty is a third of the size of Righty. Like, just Lefty, just this tiny little thing. It was tucked way back in the corner. So they're like, how many moms finding Lefty? And like, they're like, this might hurt a little. You might feel some pressure. And they're like, how you doing? I'm like, it's fine. This is weird and mildly unpleasant, but I'm not in pain. And they're like, oh, really? I'm like, no, not more than the normal amount of pain. And they're like you know, zero is the normal amount of pain, right? Like,
oh, you naive fool.
Oh, sweet pea.
Is it?
Apparently. That's what they say.
I am, by the way, just so you know, I am ascribing personalities to your uterus here.
Oh.
And I have already, in the cartoon of my mind, Righty is over there with a cigarette dangling out of his mouth going, all right, we're going to go party. Woo!
Yeah.
And the other one's on the other side going, oh, sister, you card.
Yep, absolutely. And Lefty is just this shy little demure thing.
Just
tucked back there in the corner, just like, I'm gonna go over here and read a book over by the...
I was gonna say, yeah, I imagine, like, in a wingback Victorian chair.
Yes, exactly.
But she still loves
tea.
Her sister. So,
she does.
Oh, sister,
she
you
does.
Do your
yes,
thing.
Yes, absolutely.
every time she has a period, the Odd Couple theme plays.
Better.
So apparently I have at least 2 cysts on Righty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one's not enough.
No, of course not.
You gotta have a pair.
Yeah.
You got to have a backup in case something happens to the first cyst. You have a backup cyst.
Just got to overachieve on everything, don't you, Jenna?
Oh, you haven't even heard. I'm not there yet.
You have a second one to assist?
Shut your goddamn whore mouth. Fuck you. Fuck you. Get out. Come back. I need you to drive me home.
Yep.
Later. Okay. Right.
Yep.
Fuck. I am real mad about that.
But you set it up so perfectly.
I did, and I'm mad about that, too.
It was a ball on a tee, and someone handed me a bat. I don't know what you expected.
So, I've got a couple of cysts there. So I have cysts.
Yep.
I also have some fibroids.
Oh, good.
Hanging out along the top of my uterus, mm-hmm. which is, I'm like, oh, is that why it's kind of stiff on the top? They're like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm. I'm like, okay, great.
Back in the gym, having a cigarette.
Again, this is not normal.
All right. Oh, whatever. It's just,
that's why my body has always been weird.
Yeah. And then I have a couple of medium-sized ones. But the real fun is that I do not have endometriosis. I have adenomyosis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So endometriosis is when, and I could fuck this up, but I'm pretty sure, you've got uterine cells that start to develop outside of the uterus.
Okay.
Yeah. Like along the ovaries and the tubes and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not great, and can cause some difficulties, but it's not like, oh my God, end all be all, whatever. Yeah. It's just like, ugh, that's
not
annoying.
A death sentence or anything like that, but it'd fuck you up a little
Adenomyosis is known as endometriosis's evil twin.
Again,
fucking overachiever.
Right. And that is where, it's basically endometriosis, so it's the same cells developing in places they shouldn't be developing in, but the places that these cells are developing in is into the wall and muscles of my uterus.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Doesn't that sound exciting?
No.
Yeah. So it's basically digging into all of that
area. Yeah.
And this can cause several different things. It can cause difficulties in fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I finished doing anything to do with that about 20 some years ago. Yeah. So for me personally, this isn't a big deal. I'm like, good, I guess.
Just another deadline that you've met.
Fuck it. Yeah. Good.
Yep.
But it can cause your uterus to hold a lot more, but like also grow in size. Your uterus can get to be about 3 times the size that it normally is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ah. This isn't just a beer belly. It's basically like, and they do talk about like pregnancy weeks, belly stuff in relation to things like fibroids and endometriosis, because all of that will push out and bloat.
Yeah.
I have a very nice waistline, and then just this basketball of a thing. Not quite a basketball. What do you call that? Maybe a
cantaloupe?
Maybe a cantaloupe, yeah. Little cantaloupe of a thing just hanging out on the front, and that's all of that right there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, also might be alcohol, but whatever.
Six of one.
Yeah. Can also cause a lot of pain. Like back pain.
Huh.
Like that thing I've been struggling with for the past few years.
Weird.
And doing all of that working out and trying to realign my pelvic tilt and all the rest of that stuff.
How odd.
What's super fun, on the ultrasound, when they go to look at your uterine wall, and how they can kind of, like, they can't, like, diagnose it. Unless it's out and they can look at the damn thing.
Jesus.
Up until recently, that was the only way that they diagnosed it at all. Like, they just didn't know until they took your uterus out and went, oh, that's what's been going on with you. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, up until recently, that's what it's been. But because technology's gotten better and you can see more things, there's... They call it one of two things, either Venetian blinds or, like, rainfall. And it's basically like these lines that come out that just kind of show up across the ultrasound where there's like ridges in your uterine lining.
Fuck.
It's neat looking. It looks like a goddamn Jesus painting when you've got all the points of light coming out from one spot. You know what I mean?
The beam of the ray of light. Yeah.
It looks kind of like that. Somewhere in between that and just blinds.
Okay.
So they're like, well, look, we can't say you have adenomyosis, but you have adenomyosis. So anyway, we're going to wait for your doctor to tell you that, but...
But that's what this is.
Yeah. And I was like, well, all of this just kind of lines up. That sounds correct. So I do have a follow-up appointment next week. Good thing I'm not busy doing anything next week.
Jesus Christ.
With my regular doctor to discuss options, and I, for one, they don't have there's no cure for adenomyosis, except to chuck it.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Out you go.
They can do things to lessen it. There's medications, hormones, things like that, but not really a lot, not very substantive.
Substantive? I'm not sure which word you're looking for here.
I think I was looking for the second one.
Okay.
Substance? Anyway.
Insert whichever one you prefer here.
Just pick one. Go with it. You know what I mean. There's not really anything solid they can do about it.
Yeah.
Other than to check it. And frankly, I'm done.
You're done with yours, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't used it for anything important in over 20 years, so we can just get rid of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, you got it right the first time.
So, and I'm hoping, I really did. God, my daughter's awesome.
Yep.
But I'm hoping they'll also let me get rid of at least righty, if not both. I know a lot of times they worry about hormones and things like that. Certain other medical things, but
if you keep one, that could help with that.
If I keep one, that might be able to help. He's
going
to
be packing day of, like,
yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I'm so close to menopause.
Sure.
It's like, is there even a point?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's all stuff that I need to talk to my doctor about.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
I had asked my OBGYN or the rotating OBGYN that was there for the ultrasound stuff. I was like, is this a thing that would need to get taken care of like right away? And she was like, no.
You've been dealing for a while.
Her big thing was, we can almost guarantee, that your cysts are not cancerous. That's the only thing that would expedite this. Right now, you're just uncomfortable, and you're not on any kind of thing like that. So, there's no clock ticking time thing. It's more about, you know, when can we get you in?
Sure.
I'm like, because I have a horror festival to run and some fight directing to do, and this OBGYN is just like, you're doing what now? I do stage combat. I'm doing fight direction for a show that's going up in December. And she was like, yeah, probably don't want to do anything about it before then. maybe get something scheduled for after.
Put that
right
on hold.
Cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, they probably wouldn't be able to get me in before then anyway. It takes forever to get signed up for these things. That's what I've been dealing with. It's housekeeping, but it's a very different kind of
Very much so.
Very different kind of housekeeping.
And it sounds like that's not a done deal, but pretty high in the probability.
Oh God, I'm gonna advocate for it. I'm gonna be like, hey, I'm done with it. I want it out.
Make this problem go away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just be done. Cool. My entire experience over the past 7-8 years mm-hmm. has been awful. So if we could just not do that anymore. And I have so many stories when I, because I did post about it on Facebook. And I had several friends that were like, oh, well, not several, but a few friends that were like, I had that. Even though I was going through post-surgery stiffness and soreness and stuff, I felt instant relief.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Huh. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
I would like the part where I'm not in pain consistently anymore. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Or at least the pain that I am in is post-surgical and will be healing and going away.
Sure.
Give me that one.
You can get drugs for that one.
Right. Well, and they're like, I mean, they told me, they're like, well, you can take, ibuprofen for your back. And I'm like, yeah, makes you think I haven't been? Oh,
that's adorable.
Oh, yeah. Sweet pea. Aw.
Well,
have
no,
you
that's...
woken up in the middle of the night with stabbing pains in your back? Yeah. No.
Jesus.
All right. So. Well, definitely, let us know as much as you're comfortable with. But I'm thoroughly intrigued and would like to.
I am too.
To hear how this all plays out as time goes on.
No, I'm mostly like, for me right now, especially because they're like no cancer. I'm like, this is kind of fascinating. Like, I'm just like, my body's doing what?
Yeah,
this is kind of the perfect scenario, really.
Yeah,
it is solving the problem without there being the possibility of something worse.
Right. If we can just chuck it all, then I don't have to worry about uterine cancer,
all of the positives, none of the negatives. Yeah.
I don't know how far they go as far as any of that. I might still have to worry about cervical cancer. I'm not sure what they do with all of that portion of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they pitch that too, like, fuck, man. Just have to keep getting my boobs smushed every year.
Yeah, no, they rip out the whole thing and stitch up your hole. Just done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't need that anymore.
Whatever. You get to explain this to Joe.
You get one of those Gwyneth Paltrow goop eggs.
I have done a little bit of looking, and people are like, oh, can you still have sex after a hysterectomy? And I'm like, they don't. What part of the body do you think?
People do not understand the difference. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, and unfortunately, so many of them are men.
I mean, and that is one thing, is that it is harder for a woman to get aroused once she's had all of that taken out. Because, there's stuff.
You know what else?
It's been kind of hard for me to be aroused with, the shining coming out of my vagina every month.
And the back pain.
For, like, 7 to 10 days. And then the back pain. And the
fuck.
Like, I'm like, I
and
don't...
And the fucking Venetian blinds on your stomach. And,
yeah. I'm just like, I don't know that'll change much, really. Yeah. Like,
again, it sounds like all of the good and none of the bad,
right?
Is I'm.
I mean, it does.
I wish the best for you. I'm happy.
Puts you at risk for a couple of other things, like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it puts you at risk for early menopause.
They actually said that in an article,
and I was like, "You don't say."
Whatever will I do?
But there's like. Because of the hormonal regulation that is usually a thing, all of that, the menopause stuff that happens, I think is what they were trying to say, but I'm just like, and there's, I mean, maybe I take hormones or something. Maybe I don't.
Or you get hired as a bearded lady somewhere.
I'm already nearing my face, so... Like, that's the thing. I already have all of the symptoms of a mostly menopausal woman.
Right, yep.
So, like, if they're like, oh, but you might start to grow facial hair, I'm like, start? Sweet pea, no. You might get hot flashes. I'm already getting hot flashes.
Mm-hmm. If we could put it this way, at least sometimes you're warm.
I know, right? Like, I'm never understood Jesus. What it was like to be too warm until I had a hot flash, and then I was like, oh, is this what they're bitching about? Oh, my God. That does kind of suck. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a hot flash than be freezing, though. Still, to this day. Mm-hmm.
Anything so, else you want to say on that, or should we take a break?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, this Friday I'm going in for my first mammogram, so that'll also be exciting. Oh, and this one's for everybody. Every gender, everywhere. You get to 45 and they're like, hey, so you should do colon cancer screening, yep. right? So here's the fun thing. They don't have to give you a colonoscopy anymore.
Oh.
You can do one of two things. You can get a colonoscopy, or at least these are the options that they gave me.
Yeah.
So you can get the colonoscopy, and then, like, you've been checked out for, like, 5 or 10 years or something. You don't have to come back for a bit. Or, basically, you can poop on a piece of paper and send that in, and they can analyze your shit. And then you have to do that every year.
Okay.
But it's not a colonoscopy.
I can poop somewhere weird once a year.
I was about to say, I'm like, I can...
You're like, I
have...
Do I have to go to Iowa?
I've wiped with way worse, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In a pinch. So, yeah, let's
yeah, you want to start with a pinch. And then...
Oh, God damn it, jeez. So, yeah, it's called, like, colon guard or something. Mm. But, yeah, I know, right?
This is the worst part of Skyrim.
just to clarify, you can still get it if you want it, though, right?
The colonoscopy? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Cool. All right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You kids have fun with that. So, yeah. But, yeah, get your stuff checked.
Yeah.
How's that for a thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm of an age when they're recommending, like, prostate checks and colonoscopies and
I heard that they're gonna stop doing they've stopped doing prostate exams for certain, like they can look it up in lab stuff now,
but you can't still if you want it, right? You
probably
right?
Okay, awesome.
yeah
but like I think they can just
the alternative is
most of that in labs.
They just flip it inside out real quick, take a look, and
no, I think pretty sure I heard. Look, I don't have to do the prostate things, nor do I actually get
roll
to choose
it like
that
a nylon.
One. I can't get the prostate. You can though.
How else are they supposed to get it on their foot? I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, get your annual exam.
Get your anal exam.
We're gonna take a break now.
Anal your exam. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I think I can manage 2 fucking inches, buddy.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Wow.
And it's time for a fast five.
Fast five.
Or a fast 2 in Jenna's case.
2 fucking inches, buddy.
Switzerland.
Today's fast 5 comes to us from... that guy.
Me. Womp, womp. Yep. Because
anyway,
we had none in the hopper.
Yep.
There's so nothing in there. It was very sad and lonely. Mm-hmm.
Old Mother Hubbard went to her cupboard.
And now the children are going
to
starve. Yeah.
To get her poor children a Fast Five.
We'll have to trade in some magic beans.
For a cow.
For food. Then
wait.
Gets us.
And then we eat the beans, and the beanstalk grows out of our stomach, and we
die. Had a bean burrito.
Well, there you go.
All right. Yep. Great.
Problem solved.
Done.
All right, let's go.
All right. Fast Five, question number one. Ankle or palm?
Rather have my ankle stared at than my palm read.
Really?
See, because he first said ankle, my brain went to wrist, and that was going to be easy. And then he went to palm, and I suddenly went, I don't know what this is going to be about. So.
Yeah, ankle or palm?
Yeah.
Is there an ankle tree?
Because
that seems like a James thing to pull.
That's pretty funny.
A slap or a kick?
Maybe. Because
if it was a like an anklet or a bracelet, like that would make sense. But it's not wrist; right. It's palm.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just make it
baseball
wrist? Change
or
it to
soccer?
Wrist.
I'm going with baseball or soccer.
Okay.
Baseball.
Okay.
Which is ankle? No, it's palm.
All right.
I'm going with palm because I prefer high five over sweep the leg.
Oh.
Oh, but sweep the leg's classic. But yeah. So is a high
five. So is a high five.
Yeah.
Damn.
Fair See? Enough. Mm. All right.
I might need to change my answer.
I'm going to say ankle.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Fast Five question number two. Solid or liquid?
Solid.
Rather be constipated than have diarrhea.
Huh.
I have never said, hey, could you do me a liquid and do that thing for me?
Ew.
Yeah, exactly. Ew. Yeah, nobody wants that. So, solid.
I mean, somebody somewhere probably does, but...
I'm going to say that to you now.
Look. Okay. But then you
brought this upon yourself.
Ooh. I did.
Oh, juicer or smoothie?
Huh.
Like, for health food things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a smoothie
food can be healthy?
God, I hope
that's
not.
Okay, so my doctor also told me that I need to eat 80 grams of protein a day and also a bunch of fiber because that's a lot of protein.
Yeah.
And so I told that to Joe, and he's like, so I need to make you more steak and potatoes? I'm like, that's what I heard my doctor say.
I distinctly
that is
heard.
Absolutely that is what I heard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's that. Yeah. Sorry, I have to do that now.
Yeah.
Darn.
Anyway, I'm still liquid. Going solid.
All right.
So.
Yeah. Liquid.
Okay.
Fast Five. Question number three. Supply or meeting?
Supplies.
I mean, I don't want a meeting ever for any reason, so supply.
Hmm. Yeah, I would rather supply you with a report and a solid description of it than have a meeting to go over it. And the problem is that no matter how well I describe it in my documentation, people don't read it, so I still have to have a meeting.
I'm gonna ignore
the shit out of that.
This was written by a woman.
I'm going to ask you questions that will result in an email that begins, per my last email.
Oh, my God.
Subtitle, Dear Fuckface.
I mean, the process is more fully outlined on page 7 of the documentation that I sent you, but the summary is...
Mm-hmm. On page 8.
I was informed that the vast majority of the audience for the engineering emails will not go to page 7. they will go to word 7.
I was under the understanding that we would not be fact-checked.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I'm going to choose meeting.
Meeting? Mm. I have gone opposite you all three so far, and that's how I know I'm doing it right.
Actually, I feel like I should probably go meeting because I'm really good at them. I'm all right with a meeting. We'll go meeting.
All right.
Fuck it.
Fast 5, question number 4. Payments or consolidate?
As somebody who used to work student loan servicing, I always recommend, if you can, make the payments before consolidation. However, if you are in a financial need, a consolidation is a great way to help you kind of stretch things out a bit so that you don't fall behind.
Yeah.
It's up to the individual situation. But if you can pay it off sooner, do that. The longer you have any kind of loan out there, the more you're paying on interest and not the actual fucking amount.
Agreed.
Oh, also, I just paid off my car.
Well done.
Yeah, so that means I'll probably have to take it in next month for, like, the transmission or something.
Yeah, yeah. Notoriously,
That's how that works.
Yeah.
I'm going with payments.
I'm also going to go with payments.
Yeah.
Damn it. I got it wrong finally.
Oh, payments all around.
Got it wrong.
Did you not listen to what... Oh,
no,
James doesn't listen to you either.
No,
that's great.
I heard...
Who said
I
that?
God damn it. Fast 5, question number 5.
5.
Control or chance?
Oh, come on. James.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
What?
What do you think?
I believe I'm going to have to go with control.
Shocked. I'm shocked,
and
also.
The context, all right.
This is my shocked face.
All right.
It really kind of doesn't matter.
Now guess mine.
Well, I'm going to say chance, so probably control.
Whoa, holy cow, how did he do that?
Yeah. Then we agree on the last two.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Got it wrong again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Ankle or palm. If you had to choose, would you rather injure both ankles or the palm of your dominant hand?
How long is it going to be injured?
Let's say the same amount of time. Let's say 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Hand.
When you say injure hand, what do you mean?
You can use it, but it hurts.
Oh, hand.
Yeah, I'm also going hand on that.
Hmm.
I'm not like ambidextrous or anything, but losing two ankles, like I've had ankle injuries before, and I've had hand injuries, and you know what? You use your ankles way more than you think you do.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose both of them? Nope. Nope. Give me one hand over 2 feet.
Here, here.
Yep.
No, definitely. I have arthritis in my hands, and I also do fire manipulation with my hands, and I have injured them a lot. So, yeah, I would do that over ankles
any
day.
I'm so protective of my hands.
I think that's fair.
I would choose ankles. I would choose to be in a wheelchair or use walking crutches or something, rather than injure one of my hands. Yeah. Okay.
No,
question
like,
number two.
If you mean like cripple, like never be able to use again,
I
would go with I would sit in a chair and be able to use my hands. But if you're talking 2 weeks, I'll take out a hand.
I've spent so much of my life on crutches. Honestly, I just have been injured so many fucking times.
Fair.
So
that's
I'm
fair.
Used to it. I'm pretty handy with a wheelchair now, interestingly. So, question number 2, solid or liquid. In teammates and coworkers, would you place more value on those who are dependable, though perhaps not knowledgeable, or those who are adaptable, but perhaps not always available?
If you can't show up, you're useless to me. That's just what it is. I don't care how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not there, your skills don't help me. You're not there to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, give me dependable.
All right.
What were they again?
So solid is someone who is dependable. They're going to be there.
Dependable.
But they may not know how to help. Or they may not be knowledgeable in that subject.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're not adaptable because that's the other choice.
Okay. And the liquid is?
Liquid is adaptable. That they're not always available.
But they're adaptable.
But they're very adaptable.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to stick with solid.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not there, it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you can adapt.
Mm.
If you're not there, you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would definitely agree. I think it's a compelling point if they're never available or, like, unavailable conveniently at all the wrong times. But
if I don't know if you're going to be there... If you are not dependable, if I don't know that you're going to be there at any given point in time, I cannot place expectation on you at all because I don't know when you're going to be there.
Yep.
I literally cannot expect anything from you, so you are useless. As far as work stuff is concerned.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Friendships are different. But when we're talking about a project, when we're talking about getting work done, like, that's straight up
and
I know what it is. We don't usually get the opportunity to mix these up because it's usually written in from somebody who isn't here to represent it. But my thought was someone who will tell you that they're not available to assist with a particular project or on a particular meeting or day. Mm-hmm. So you are aware, you're prepared for them not to be there. But when they are there, they're adaptable. So your point may still stand.
Yeah. So if I know somebody's not available on, like, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's fine. There is a dependability.
That is a dependability.
But if somebody says they're available Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they don't show up Thursday, that is undependable. It's not about can you make all of it. It's about, can you make the things you say you're going to be there for?
And if you're not going to be there, you give fair warning.
Yeah.
More than fair warning.
Yeah.
Fair is different for many people.
A lot of people, like, 5 minutes is not fair warning. Although
goodness knows, that is not fair warning.
For some reason, people keep telling me that I need to reschedule a meeting 5 minutes beforehand.
Jesus. No, I'm talking about, like, I'm going to be out of the office next week.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You can't make that meeting next week.
That is dependable.
That is
that, in my mind, is dependable.
Yes. Yeah. And when I was writing it, I was imagining someone who is always there, always available, that being the definition of dependable for this question.
No.
It's okay.
I feel like that's the wrong word to use.
Yeah, that's not how I would say that either. Okay. I don't want a pushover. I don't want somebody that's always there but not doing anything. Mm-hmm. That's different. That's not that isn't about dependability.
Mm-hmm.
That is about availability, and that is a different thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Honestly, just straight up is.
Mm-hmm.
So
stop making me agree with Jenna and move on.
Okay. Question number three: supply or meeting?
Supplies.
Meetings.
Choose a small act of defiance against your employer. 1, using office supplies for home, or 2, creating meetings during which you goof off or run errands.
I already do that.
¿Por qué no los both?
Well, yeah. Why not the both is that you have to choose one or the other.
Oh. I absolutely have blocks on my calendar where I say I'm not available at this time and because I'm going to do things because I've got to take the kids to the dentist.
Yeah. I feel like that's...
You're talking more about goofing off than...
Well, he said run errands.
He said goof off or run errands.
Right. Not not necessarily serious errands where you would tell your boss, like, hey, my kids need to be at the bus stop by 8, so I'm going
to
be
I got to go to Target and pick up some toothpaste. I'm going to be out of the office.
I heard that Target has Nerf guns that are brand new, so...
No, that is a valid reason.
It is.
That is 100%. My boss would say, yeah, go off you go.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see... Okay, yeah.
Anyway,
I don't feel like that's an act of defiance, either of those, because my company doesn't care either way.
It's okay, especially if you're, like, immediate. Like, we had Meat Club.
Yeah.
That was a meeting that we were all unavailable and off the phones so that we could grill and eat meats.
Yeah,
but
it,
like,
was a long lunch.
During lunch, I don't legally, you have to have a lunch.
Yeah. You do. You do.
It was a longer lunch, but still.
A little longer, but...
No, I
guess there, also I wasn't on the phone, so there that wasn't an amount a part of my thing. So.
Also, yeah. I think it also... I'm a salaried employee, as long as I do the job, they don't care.
Yeah, that's the other thing for me, too. Like, I have meetings on... I have a meeting for lunch every day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, legally I have to take that. But then I'll, put up a meeting like, oh, maintenance. or whatever.
Sure.
When I'm just like, nope, I'm not dealing with this right now. I need an hour to myself or a half an hour or whatever.
During the run of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, there's a gathering. Some people get together at Mark Lazarczyk's house. Yeah. On Mondays, and we talk about Fest.
Yeah.
And I block that off on my calendar on Mondays, and I go and do that for a few hours.
Yeah.
And my company doesn't care, because as long as I'm not missing any meetings and I'm still getting my work done, I'm still getting my work done. So I'm an adult. I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And that's the other thing. Like, there are some weeks that I work 60, 65, 70 hours.
I did not make
everyone.
And there
are other weeks where I do not work that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's fine.
I did not make it to Mark's every weekend, because some days I couldn't.
Last week I was technically working, but also recovering from pneumonia.
Mm.
And so I was basically catching up on my email and listening to meetings and informing people that I would not be speaking during the meeting. That was not a full work week.
Yeah.
And
as far as office supplies go, I feel like 99% of what we do is done with this little box I'm holding in my hand.
Right.
Like, what do office supplies get used for anymore?
Do you know what I do like getting from the office? Is little screen wipes.
I am.
Oh, we don't have those.
We have screen wipes. We have we have wipes for everything because you know, healthcare, whatever.
I should see if there's any stock room.
But like screen wipes or alcohol wipes.
Yeah.
Because they're great not just for, you know, like actually wiping your screens, but your phone.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah.
They're great for glasses.
I should see if there's any of those in the stock. I hadn't thought of that. You're so smart.
I know.
Yeah.
Of course I am.
No, I don't want to take office supplies, so I would...
I was actually handed a giant bag of screen wipes at one point. They were cleaning out stuff, and they're like, what do we even use these for? And I was like, I'll take them. They're like, all right, here you go.
Yeah, I haven't...
I guess I didn't even steal that bag.
I was shown where the printers were when I was hired almost 2 years ago, and I haven't gone in that room since because we don't need to. Because we never do anything with paper. Yeah. We never need pencils or
pens. I know that there are people who do all of their printing at work so that they don't have to have a printer at home.
I have a printer right behind.
Yeah, I have a home printer, and furthermore, actually, it is hard to get printing done at work because of... It's health industry. Everything is very
locked down.
Locked.
Yeah, so. That makes sense. All right. Question number 4, payments or consolidate. If you were to win a $500 million lottery, would you rather receive payments of $10 million for up to 50 years, unless you die before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until the end of your life, or 50 years, whichever you reach first. Or get a smaller amount, something like 300 million, all at once.
Smaller amount all at once. Because... I can then make sure to set money aside right away for my family. Mm-hmm. I can invest in the things that I want to be able to invest in. And I don't have to worry about, like, it seems like a bit more of a gamble.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm now 45.
45.
There it is. Like, yeah, I'm not going to live to 95. I'd also rather have the money up front while I can still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can make investments or whatever, to keep things going. Mm-hmm. I can just put a bunch in a savings. I could just live off of a savings.
Yeah.
For that's a while.
What a lot, like, of people do, just, is they just live off the interest.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, no, all up front. And my financial advisor might disagree with me, but too bad.
Well, actually...
I actually don't know that you would or wouldn't.
Because this does happen with the lottery all the time, is they give those options. And I was like, obviously you would want the full amount and take the payments. And... everybody seems to take the smaller lump sum. And I was so confused by that for so long. It's like, why would you do that? But I think Jenna has really hit it on the head there, is you take that amount and then you invest it. There's a quote I heard somewhere, somehow. It was like, somebody who had walked away from like a $10 million deal. Doing a thing because he just wasn't feeling it. And they were like, how could you walk away from that money? And he's like, I've already got 20 million. Do you know the difference between the people that have 20 million and 30 million? Not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
They own the same cars. They go to the same restaurants. They eat the same things. They wear the same clothes. Yeah. There's no fucking difference. I've already won. What's another 10 million?
Yeah.
You know, so it's once at that point, take the lump sum, invest it, you know, take that money, do philanthropic work and stuff like that.
That's the thing. Like, I have so many different things that I want to put money towards.
Yeah.
I have 7 different nonprofits in my brain that I can't fund right now that I would just be like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. So, take the smaller amount and do something with it.
Yeah.
I would feel so overwhelmed trying to manage the 300 million.
Don't you have a financial advisor?
Yeah, you would absolutely 100% just go. You would not deal with this now. It.
Your financial advisor
just
would
making the choices on that for me would be, it feels harder than figuring out what to do with $10 million each year. I'm also so fucking worried that I would annihilate it in some kind of massively stupid move and not have any more coming. I would rather donate, you know, separate out $7 million a year for charity, $1 million for myself and my family, $2 million for... whatever business stuff.
You can still do that with a lump sum.
Yeah. Again,
I believe.
My big thing is if you're worried about your abilities to do that, that's why you hire somebody else to do that for you. That's why you have a financial advisor. That's why you have other people, like tax people and things like that. You just hire the right people. Yeah. And they'll take care of it for you.
Get a planner, get an accountant, get a lawyer.
Yeah.
Let them do their job.
Yep. Best team I had was a team that I was barely involved with.
We sometimes never talk.
No, my highest performing team. Like, I would have my daily stand-up. Mm-hmm. Be like, what'd you do yesterday? What are you going to do today? Is there anything in your way? And we were done inside of 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then unless they reached out to me or something was actively hitting the fan, mm-hmm. I just didn't talk to them for the rest of the day. Because I said, okay, we've figured out, we've talked about the requirements, this is what you're doing, this is what we need to have happen.
Yeah.
Just go do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got so much credit for having so little involvement as to what was going on in that project. And I just happened to have the right people working on it. So yeah.
Let them do their job.
Let them do their job.
Question number five. Controller Chance, do you believe that your current success is more due to your patience or due to fortunate circumstance?
Fucking dumb luck.
Yeah,
same. Dumb luck.
That's actually an argument that I have with people all the time. People are like, you work so hard, Jenna. And I'm like, I do.
Yeah.
And also, I was very lucky.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would say it's more or less one thing or the other, honestly. Yeah, I worked my ass off when I was on welfare getting a college degree so that I could get a tech job. But then I also knew the right people to be able to get me into the tech industry, to be able to lift me up into other positions in the tech industry. I knew I was real lucky in the social worker that I got up in Mora, who basically snuck me into college. Like, I worked my ass off. But a lot of it was also luck. And I think that's one of those things people are like, oh, well, you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps or blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
what that means.
Bitch, please, no. No, I was very lucky. There are so many people on welfare. You've got me on a welfare rant. So many people on welfare bust their asses and just don't get that lucky break. Some people on welfare are maybe just waiting for the lucky break and not busting their asses. Yeah.
Some there people could who get a weekly those. Paycheck are just waiting for their lucky break.
But
the lottery earns millions of dollars.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, no, it's there's always a combination to it. There's no one thing weighs more than the other in my brain.
Yeah. No, I obviously worked my butt off to learn how to swallow swords and eat fire and do comedy. Comedy is not something that I was naturally good at. It's something I had to work at.
Something you should still work at.
I do still work at. In all seriousness, it is something I genuinely work at.
The hardest thing for him to swallow is his own pride.
Oh, goodness. No. Are you kidding? I swallow fucking every day. No, like the very first time I ever got on comedy stage for Vilification Tennis, my very first show, I talked to Tim afterwards and I was like, how did that go? And he was like, you were okay. And it was like, oh, okay. And so I fucking busted my ass because I wasn't one of those that gets on stage the first time. It's like, everybody's like, oh my God, he's hilarious. No, I fought my way up. But even then, a lot of it was also dumb luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I worked my butt off to swallow swords, but I also got really lucky in that I don't have, I have a strong stomach and I, you know, have a high pain threshold. And things like that. I got lucky.
Yeah, you worked really hard to do Vilification Tennis, but somewhere along the way you had an amazing vil partner named Jenna.
Yeah.
You got really lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized that if somebody was
going to... That's why your back hurts.
Yeah.
From carrying salsa.
Yeah. No, I realized if I was going to get everywhere, anywhere, I was going to have to carry both of us, and then I had to really get good.
Yep, that's exactly how that happened.
He just repeated your jokes so that the audience would hear them.
Yep.
Fucking God. That is the one actual point of pride that I have doing Vilification Tennis. Is that I am a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
And I could be heard over most of the other vilifiers on that stage in the round in an audience of 800.
Yeah.
Like... Because we did tests for a while, and people would be like, well, I could hear Jenna. I'm like, bitch, I'm loud. What?
I remember being introduced to the Bear stage for that, and they're like, all right, we got to make sure that we can... James, you're fine. got to make sure that we can hear you back at the tree, and because there's going to be... like.
Well, and
not
I mean,
you.
Yeah, so there would be, like, during certain rounds, occasionally somebody with the audience and everything else, not just... practice run. And yeah, I was consistently heard.
Yeah.
But it's very, very different when you get all of those people in there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like there's the test run and then there's the people run.
People just absorb sound.
Oh, they God. Soak it up.
Yep. Yeah, they do. So yeah, the only reason I was heard during vilification tennis is because I was the only one you could hear. That's the only reason people listen to me.
I know
that was the point I was trying to get to ages ago.
I know that I have that I've worked hard for a lot of things, but I 100% attribute any success that I have to good fortune.
Yeah.
Just like stumbling into the right people at the right time, or somebody giving me a break.
Yeah,
I give it a 60-40.
Yeah, you bust your butt until you get your lucky break.
Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah.
And I know that according to the old quote, it's supposed to be 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. But maximum 10% perspiration and the 90% blindly stumbling into things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Luck of the draw.
Yep.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. And like James interrupted me to say, please do that. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
Oh, God, I had one, and then I lost it. Hold up.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to people who deliver groceries. Thanks. I love having groceries and haven't been able to go grocery shopping myself for a while. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm actually going to give my shout out to everybody that did show up for birthday shenanigans.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. If there were some people that went to Monster Science, because I posted that I'd be doing that one. I had a few other group gatherings. For those that were able to make it, great. If you couldn't, I totally understand. I appreciate all of the birthday wishes and messages and shenanigans that ensued.
45.
Yep.
I'm going to give my shout out to all the people who watched our kids while my wife and I were away doing that Renaissance Festival thing that we do so well.
Nice.
It is always a delight to be able to get away from the kids for a couple days, as much as we love them. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Oh my God, you guys.
Bring it on, Jenna.
The Twin Cities Horror Festival.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, good.
Jesus.
Good. Twin Cities Horror Festival is in, by the time this drops, it's in a week.
What?
The festival starts on the 23rd, which is a Wednesday this year. We have a one-night-only opening show with Leslie Vincent, who is an amazing local singer-performer. Also used to be the marketing director for the Twin Cities Horror Festival a few years back. You can't go to that because it's already sold out.
Oh, whoa.
We have already sold out shows, you guys. This is what I'm trying to say.
It's amazing.
So, the rest of the shows will be happening between October 24th through November, 2nd, 3rd, something like that. That following Sunday. The first Sunday in November. There you go. And there is at least one show already sold out during that time period as well.
Wow.
Get your fucking tickets now. Like, I literally can, especially for those studio shows. If you're going to see a studio show, get those tickets in advance right now. Like I said, one of those shows is already sold out. Not the entire production, just the show date.
Yeah.
For one of them. If you are planning to go, get those now.
Yep.
Or you will be sad. Because it is such an incredible lineup. I would love to talk through everything, but I'm not going to because I'm very tired. But we will post the link to the website in the show notes. Look everything over. Look over the schedule. Look at all the shows. There's listening. We have merch that you can just get online. Yeah. I didn't even know about that. Awesome. I'm like, well, this is awkward. we have a lovely about describing why horror. Also talking about how amazing I am as a president. So you know, you should look that up.
So it's fiction.
Fuck off.
Fuck.
You're not. You can't come to my festival. You should be sad. Actually, some of these shows are going to be amazing.
I believe it, but it's horror, and I'm not into that.
See, you need to read the dissertation. Why horror? Just saying. Some of it. Some of the stuff. No,
I believe. I would
actually be into something.
This is not my bag.
Some of it is like sci-fi type stuff that you would really.
Some of it is Kessen.
Some of it is Kessen.
I mean, Kessen is pretty good.
See. And Kessen's doing 5 different shows this year.
Good lord.
Jeez, man.
In conjunction with Special When Lit. So it's going to be fucking amazing.
It's going to be lit.
Oh, my God. Special. Anyway, go to the festival. Get your tickets.
Do all
of the things.
It's going
to be amazing.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic. And I will be there most nights. So stop in and say hi. Also remind me who you are, because I will definitely be dazed and distracted with everything going on.
Understandably.
James is going to have to remind me who he is.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. So. Anything, James?
Nothing until next month. But Black Friday... Vilification Tennis.
Oh, that's 6 weeks away.
It's going to be a game show spectacular.
Well, if we're going to talk about that weekend, that's also the weekend that Klingon shows open.
Oh.
The Hallmark parody of the season. I'll be home for Kalis. The Hallmark parody of the season opens that weekend as well. So
At the Phoenix.
And there are tickets available. So you can also get tickets for that. But I'm way more interested in getting you to the horror festival right now.
Yeah.
We'll get you to Kalis next month. This month is horror.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
One at a time.
Yeah.
One thing at a time, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Next weekend, or this coming weekend, however you want to say it, on Saturday at the Waseca County Historical Society in Waseca, Minnesota, is going to be Violet McNeil's Medicine Show World.
Oh.
It is, as you can probably guess from the fact that it's taking place at the Historical Society, this is a show. Violet McNeil was an actual snake oil salesperson from the turn of the century who was from Minnesota and wrote a book about her life later on. And so, like, this is, the show is based on her writings and her life, so it's kind of like a reproduction of the shows that she was doing.
Oh, wow.
And then, so it's going to be Violet McNeil's medicine show, and there's going to be a human snake woman going to be doing a thing, and there's going to be a sword swallower, you may have heard of him before, going to be doing a thing there. But that is going to be at the Waseca County Historical Society on Saturday, the 19th.
Okay.
At 6:30 p.m. I highly recommend that show. It is really going to be fast. I'm so looking forward to this show.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And the other thing I wanted to plug is something that I have nothing to do with whatsoever.
Even better.
I did go and see this, and a dear friend and former roommate of mine is in this show. It is Macbeth by William Shakespeare is going on right now at Open Window Theater. And this is a fantastic production. My friend Retta, it plays Lady Macbeth.
Rad.
And she plays it so
what an
well.
Amazing part too.
Lady Macbeth is Lady Macbeth often comes off as either cold or bloodthirsty,
right?
And she really toes that line of not making it too far either way, and making her relatable and human. Like, you really, you really see her go from ambitious, I mean, but also kind of starting to get scared of her husband in some places. Like, she can see where he's starting to go crazy, and she's like starting to genuinely feel concern
the
for
like, anxiety exactly. of everything yeah. happening.
So,
right. Yeah.
So she's a fantastic actor, and everybody else is also a fantastic actor. The guy who plays Macbeth, so good. Like, when he starts really tumbling into madness, like, he gets really wild-eyed, and he was just, it was so good. And then, like, we went out to the lobby after the show, and I saw him, like, walk out through to the bathroom, and then a couple minutes later, this, like, hipster guy with, like, a man bun and a neatly trimmed beard came out, and I was like, is that... it? No. What? he cleaned up real good.
Nice.
Real fat. But yeah, no, it's absolutely fantastic. It's like a World War I take on it. So some of the costuming and stuff like that. Yeah, fantastically done. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Cannot recommend this enough. That is going on until October 30th.
That's just before Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. But yes, by all means, please go and see this show. It is really, 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 really good. If you have never seen Macbeth before, this is fantastic. If you have seen Macbeth before, this is a really, really good one.
Nice.
So, check it Amazing. Out.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No.
Any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you, James, for putting out that Fast Five on short notice.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh, no!